This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
D4VD, aka David Anthony Burke, the artist known as David's alter ego, Pain, has emerged after a Japanese anime he created, his own alter ego that he has come up with is Pain. This as the Tesla key card to his Tesla is found hidden in a gutter. Why? Who hides their car keys or their key card in a gutter and leaves it in that trunk of that Tesla? A little girl, Celeste, just 13 years old when she goes missing, body in his trunk. Tonight, no arrest. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us. Tonight, the conspiracy theorists' online sleuthing has exploded with literally dozens and dozens of theories all centering around one thing, the SOD defense. Some other dude did it. But before we wander into the fantasy land of what might have happened, let's talk about what has happened. As we go to air tonight, we learn the key card to D4VD, aka David, aka David Anthony Burke's Tesla, the one with the dead body in the front trunk of his very expensive luxury Tesla, that key card to that Tesla. Whoa, there you go. Why is it hidden in the gutter? Joining me in All-Star Panel to make sense of what we are learning, straight out to Christina Gonzalez, joining us, award-winning investigative reporter, Fox 11 KTTV, joining us from this jurisdiction. Christina, why is the key card in the gutter?
And, you know, keep in mind, and to be fair, there's like three other Teslas on that block. But I have a Tesla. I know where my key card is. And I'm not living in the gutter.
Dave Mack joining me, Crime Stories investigative reporter. Where is the key card found? It reportedly goes to David Anthony Burke's Tesla. And why is it in the gutter? What do we know?
Well, we know that it was found by a neighbor, and it was found in the gutter. And the neighbor actually picked it up, Nancy, and turned it in to police. But as is the day and age, he posted it, or she did, onto Reddit, where everybody was able to pile on and talking about the relevance of finding a key card for a Tesla that had a teenager's decomposed remains in it.
I'm going to follow up with Steve Fisher in a moment about all the dust on that Tesla and what, if anything, it means. But let me stick with the key card first. Joining me is Scott Eicher, digital forensics expert, founding member of the FBI Cellular Analysis Survey Team, who is an expert in Teslas and their key card. Now, according to reports we've gotten, Scott, and I'm waiting to confirm this, that key card goes with David Anthony Burke's Tesla. If not, I'm sure we'll find out. Explain to me the significance of that key card.
Yeah, I have a Tesla, and when I bought the car, it's a 2002 Model Y, they gave me two key cards. They look like little credit cards, and you put it on the center console, and you can start your car. Most people hide those away. I put those in the safe at my house because I don't need them, because I can use my phone, once I set it up correctly, to drive, open, and review all the camera stuff on my car. So the key cards are important initially, but then most of the time they're hidden away for when your phone dies or something like that and you need to get into your car.
Guys, just look at that. We're getting that from Steve Fisher Investigates, and the shot of the Tesla key card is from Run It Back 777 on Reddit. Scott Eicher, can't the key card be loaned out? Like, if you want someone to borrow your car, you could let them use the key card?
Yes, you can. You can buy it because it doesn't have a name on it attached to it. It just runs the car when you need it to. So you can give it to a valet if you wanted to, or you could give it to your son. If he's not, you know, already set up to use the car with his phone, you can give that to anybody to use that to drive that car.
I'm going to circle back to you in a moment, Scott Eicher, because I want to find out everything I can about the Tesla nav system and all of the cameras. Teslas give you a 360-degree view all around the car, and it goes into a USB stick. Now, where's the stick? Will the car operate without the stick? Has the USB stick been removed from that Tesla, from Burke's Tesla? Is what's on the stick also recorded in the cloud? Isn't it true, Christina Gonzalez joining us, Fox 11 KTTV, that a raid was conducted on Burke, a.k.a. David, a.k.a. D4VD's home, his mansion, now I know valued at over $4 million, and a lot of digital evidence, computers, digital equipment was taken out of the home. Isn't that true?
Yes, they took quite a bit of computer equipment and electronics. That is confirmed by
Scott Eicher. If this key card had been damaged by the elements, you saw it, right? It looked wet. It looks degraded. Can that be rehabilitated to make sure it belongs to Burke's vehicle? And what, if any, forensic evidence can we get off that card? I mean, I'm telling you, if somebody threw away the key to my minivan, it's like finding a needle in a haystack, but I would find it. That shot from Run It Back 777 on Reddit. Go ahead.
The key card itself is like a credit card. If it's broken, damaged, it might be a problem identifying it, but it's like a programmable credit card. And it, just like anything else, you can get some forensics off of it. So it shouldn't be too much of a problem other than the elements that are on it. I doubt someone hid it in a gutter. I haven't seen the picture of where it was found. It's more likely someone dropped it if it's in like the gutter of the street. But you could definitely get some information from that credit card or that key card.
I want to remind everyone that as we go to air tonight, David Anthony Burke, a.k.a. D4VD, is innocent in the eyes of the law, and he remains innocent unless the presumption of innocence is pierced and overcome by evidence that proves him guilty. Josh Colesrew joining us, veteran trial lawyer and former U.S. attorney, founder of Colesrew Law Offices. Josh, thank you for being with us. This would not be the first time that a killer has thrown away evidence thinking nobody would find it. Until they do.
Well, that's right. But this is certainly odd, just like other pieces of evidence in this case, you know, are odd. And what I don't like about this, if I'm a prosecutor, is that the LAPD missed it. I mean, they're the ones that were searching the home where David was living, and they were supposed to have gathered all the necessary evidence. You know, if I'm the prosecutor, I'm going to be pretty mad that they missed this. Now, a defense attorney is going to come in and say, chain of custody. You know, how do you know that this wasn't placed after the police officers were there? How do you know that this isn't somebody setting up David? You know, I'm not going to be happy about it. Also, maybe if they would have found the key card when they actually searched the house, they would be able to search it and get more material and forensics.
Well, I can answer that, Josh Colesrew, because it wasn't in the house, because it was thrown in the gutter. That's why they didn't find it in the house.
Well, there were certainly, you know, 20 detectives around there, and you would expect them to search the area. The vehicle was only found 150 feet away from the house. I mean, it was within a half a block away from that house. Why wouldn't they just check around, look in the gutter, look in the bushes to see what, if any, evidence would be around there? It's standard operating procedure. The fact that a Redditor found this on their own is embarrassing.
Let me correct your statement, Josh Colesrew. You stated that the Tesla belonging to Burke, a.k.a. D4VD, a.k.a. David, was found 150 feet from the home.
That's what I read.
I believe you meant to say was the Tesla containing the little girl's dead body was just 150 feet away from Burke's home. It's not just a car. This is a car containing his girlfriend's allegedly dead, dismembered body in the front facing trunk. It's not just a car. It's not like he's getting a citation, a traffic ticket, which he did. There is a dead body in there 150 feet away from his house. The car was not reported stolen. She was not reported missing by him or his entourage. Why?
Well, that's the crux of the issue. If the evidence was so compelling that David did this, why isn't he charged? And the reason why is they don't have direct evidence that David did this. I mean, what's really strange about this, Nancy, is, you know, he would have to be one of the dumbest people in the world to leave the body of his girlfriend in a trunk of his car yards away from his house.
Are you actually stating too dumb to be guilty defense?
What, well, look
at
the
case. Actually using that. People do dumb things all the time. Criminals are not that smart. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in jail. Go look. You're joining me from Phoenix, Arizona, correct? Go look at the county jail. You think those people are smart? They're
Can
not.
I say something?
That's why they're in jail.
So part of what the media is doing is saying how smart David is by foreshadowing in his music what he did in this case. Well, if he did that, he has some intelligence.
I'm sorry, so I just choked because that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's clairvoyant. I'm saying that possibly, just like Scott Peterson predicted, it would be his first Christmas as a widow, and then boom, it was. I'm not saying that D4VD, aka David Burke, is clairvoyant, that he foreshadowed these events. I'm saying that they mirror what's going on in his mind.
Well, a lot of people, maybe not you, are saying that this was his motive, that the music that he produced somehow shows his motive in this case. And if that's true, if he was dropping hints and foreshadowing, then obviously he has a lot of intelligence for doing that. So if he has a lot of intelligence, why would someone leave a body of their loved one, their girlfriend, there's other issues with that, trust me, in the trunk of their car? It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And the more information that we get, it shows that so many people around him had access to that vehicle. We know that she may have been living there while he was on tour.
Hey, you know what? Let me go back through all my TikToks I've amassed of all the conspiracy theories. So you're buying into some other dude did it and then framed him. So somebody else killed this little girl, Celeste, goes missing when she's 13, with him. Gee, I wonder why. Somebody else killed her, partially dismembered her, put her in his trunk.
Could be. It could be.
Is that what you're actually saying?
Yes. Yes, it is. We do not know that's not the case, Nancy. We don't know that. We don't know it's not suicide. We don't know that she didn't overdose.
Josh,
we don't know.
You know what I think? We don't know that little green men from Mars didn't beam down and sneak into the house and drag her out and kill her and put her in his trunk, all to frame D4VD. Really? What, is that, you're actually saying somebody tried to frame him?
I'm saying that.
This reminds me of the theorist that claimed O.J. Simpson's son really killed Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman. Did you believe that too?
We had forensic evidence in that case that tied O.J. Simpson to the murder. At this point in time, we don't even know the cause of death. We don't know if it was strangulation. We don't know if it was a gunshot. We don't know if she was pregnant with David's baby. There's so many things that we do not know yet. And what I'm afraid of is this going to be like Casey and Anthony all over again, where the coroner is unable to determine a cause of death, and there's not going to be any charges or a conviction in the case because of that.
There is another theory. Someone is framing Burke for the death of Celeste. Multiple people are known to have been driving Burke's Tesla. It is possible one of his friends killed Celeste and, in an effort to shift blame, place her remains inside Burke's Tesla.
One of the many, many conspiracy theories that are populating online about who really killed Celeste. Let's just clarify one thing to Dr. Kendall Crowns, you know him well, the chief medical examiner, Tarrant County, that's Fort Worth, Texas. Never a lack of business in that morgue. He is an esteemed lecturer at the Burnett School of Medicine at TCU, and he is the star of a new hit podcast called Mayhem in the Morgue. I just put it on loop this weekend and listened to every single one of them. They're awesome. Dr. Kendall Crowns, your podcast aside, is there any way this little girl died of natural causes and then what, chopped herself up and jumped into the trunk?
So, no, the fact that she's been chopped up would argue against the fact that she died naturally. Natural cause, she could have OD'd and then someone panics and then cuts her up, but that doesn't make logical sense. Why not just call 911 or wrap her up and dump her somewhere?
Who's giving a little 13-year-old girl drugs?
That would be people she's hanging out with,
causes?
Which would also be a problem. Well, I don't think that's natural causes at all. That would be, at best, an accident. But due to the fact that she's being given the drugs, you could argue that it's a homicide as well. So there is no way she's ending
when
up in a bag.
When you feed a child drugs and they die, that's a felony. But you know what? I'm not going to attack you on that. I want your mind to stay clear as a medical examiner, not get bogged down in the law. That's why I have Colesrud. Again, the dismemberment of this little girl, 13 at the time she goes missing from her home, which is a whole nother question. Where were the parents in this scenario? They report her missing once, she's brought back, and then she goes missing again. Says she's going to the movies with her boyfriend, David. David who? You think for 1 minute when somebody comes to pick up my daughter, Lucy, I don't see them at the door and smell them? Yeah. Just like I do their school bus drivers and anybody else that's going to be around them. Yeah. I want to find out if they smell like weed or alcohol. Who is using drugs around this little girl? Why do we only know, oh, she went off to the movies with some guy named David? No. And then how long passes that nobody sees her or hears from her? Where were the parents in this scenario? That said, you were discussing natural or accidental causes. You know who you're reminding me of right now? You know? Jose Baez.
No.
Do you remember him? He was the lawyer, got a $1 million book deal after that Kelly Anthony, a little tot girl, died naturally by accident in a swimming pool. And then her grandfather, this is not true, of course, and her mother, her bio mom, said, oh, let's just put her in a trash bag and throw her in a swamp. So you would actually go down the garden path, Dr. Kendall Crowns, of this little girl dies by accident, and then she's chopped up and put in a trunk?
Well, you can't put blinders on when you're doing an autopsy and just assume that they've been dismembered and that it's obviously a homicide. You have to go through all the processes and rule out things before you get to the conclusion of homicide. You can't just come in and say, oh, that's a homicide, obviously, because then you'll miss things that could actually be factual evidence that could give you the correct cause and manner of death than if you just put on blinders and assumed it was a homicide the entire time. You can't approach everything with the idea of the mindset of you know what the answer is before you've done the autopsy. So what I'm saying is there are possibilities. People react differently to stressors and do crazy things. I've seen that a million times before, especially when there's drugs involved, especially methamphetamine. But you never know what someone might do when someone ends up dying and they're famous and they don't know what to do and they get their cronies to come in and chop them up and dispose of the body. So who knows what happened? But I can tell you this, through the autopsy, they'll at some point figure out what happened. And more likely than not, this is a homicide because they cut her up and disposed of her the way they did.
You know, Dr. Kendall Crowns, I've always held you in such high esteem, but I'm seeing you in a whole new light right now. And I believe that you've been spending way too much time on TikTok. And this is why.
If this is a setup, what a perfect person to put it on, right? He's got sad, depressing songs. He's got songs about murdering. He is the perfect candidate to set up and frame for a murder. But I think even the true David fans are really starting to feel like, bruh, you done did this. We know it's you.
I don't think David did it. I know I'm gonna ruffle some feathers. Y'all might get mad, but I really don't think he did it.
I'm gonna be honest. David did not do it, man. David did not do it. Like, y'all need to spread the news, man. David did not do it.
I think it's safe to say that David did not kill nobody, bro. Didn't do it, gang. Yo, bro, just think about it, bro.
That is from at KillArray3. It is from at Curicio2, from at Tegan Hooks, and from at NK Stacks, all on TikTok. I can't wait to look later tonight and see what Dr. Kendall Crowns has added. Maybe he will talk in a chipmunk voice, just like our last contributor.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Maybe, but can we talk about the likelihood that someone murdered a little girl that reportedly was in a romantic relationship with an older guy, and that would be Burke, aka David, who would have a motive to kill her, and why dismember her and put her in his trunk to frame him? You know, Karen Stark is joining me, forensic psychologist, TV radio trauma expert at KarenStark.com. Karen, that's a lot of work to frame a young musical artist. Why? Why would anyone want to frame him? That's crazy talk. Do you remember Karen Stark when Scott Peterson murdered his wife Lacey and their unborn child Connor? And one of the defense theories that Mark Geragos floated was someone took Lacey and then thought, wow, Scott Peterson would be the perfect person to frame. So I'm going to go dump her body where he goes fishing. So this person knows where Scott Peterson fishes and waits for just the right time and then dumps the body and then stands by and waits for it to be found. That's crazy talk.
Well, to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense, Nancy. Just, I feel the way you do, because he was the one that ostensibly was in the relationship with her. So I don't understand why everyone is thinking about somebody planting her or choosing him. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. They were intimately involved.
Celeste is found dead in the trunk of his Tesla. Celeste's body was found in a black tube top and ripped jeans. Her body was in advanced state of decomposure.
It's obviously a homicide.
The big rock and roll hit. Send lawyers, guns, and money. And nothing could be truer in this case. Lawyers, guns, and money. Number one, David, aka David Anthony Burke, aka D4VD, admits his dad is a litigator. Listen.
Not at all. My dad is a litigator for a law firm. Okay. My mother was a teacher. She doesn't do it anymore, but she does notary now.
That is from And the Writer Is on YouTube. Does that explain why he has remained silent, otherwise known as exercising your Fifth Amendment right? Christina Gonzalez joining us, Fox 11 KTTV. Has he issued, being Burke, any statement regarding Celeste's death?
Not from day one. Even as they were looking, as they were found the body, as he continued in the concert. He talked about the concert, but he never said anything about his girlfriend missing or a body in his trunk. Nothing. It was his people who said he was, quote, cooperating.
But wait a minute. Didn't he continue his withered world tour after she goes missing? Because the LAPD is saying she's been in that trunk for a long time.
And that's the question, okay? Because one thing is, imagine your girlfriend went away and you didn't know where she was, but suddenly they find a... Yes, he continued the concert. He continued the concert as they found the body. Granted, it was his first big concert, but He never stopped. He never issued a statement saying, oh, my God, I'm trying to help. Nothing at all, which goes to what you're saying. I mean, he's being well advised by somebody.
Josh Colesrew joining us, criminal defense attorney and former assistant U.S. attorney. Josh, you don't think that's odd that she goes missing? The little girl he's been with reportedly since she was 11, which is a whole nother can of worms. He doesn't put out a public appeal to find her. Nothing. No comment. And now, after her body's been found in his trunk, still nothing.
Everything that he's done after the discovery of the body has been very intelligent. You know, when you're under scrutiny, you want to remain silent because everything that you do is going to be viewed under the lens of a microscope. And here, you know, he does have good people around him. His father has litigation experience as a tech. His mother is a teacher, and he has good people around him at his, you know, the music industry.
What do you mean by good people around him? People to tell him don't talk?
No, only that they are protecting him is what I mean. Not that they are morally good people. But what you don't want is a prosecutor to be able to look at what you say or even what you don't say and hold it against you later on inside of a courtroom. Because right now, there is no direct evidence that he's involved, at least none that has been disclosed to the public. And the police are still working on motive, which hasn't been established here. So what you don't want is to give them any breadcrumbs leading to yourself, especially when there's so much suspicion surrounding
Josh,
you.
I appreciate all you have to say about all the, quote, good people around him protecting him. I'm just stating if my husband went missing, I would be all over the Action News 6, 10, and 11 begging for somebody to help me find him and bring him home, right? I don't care what anybody else has to say or all the good people telling me to shut my pie hole. No. And speaking of people around him, as we go to air tonight, his manager is speaking out because many people are claiming, let's see a shot of that mansion, the one that is just blanketed in video cameras. I can't wait to see what they reveal. But Dave Mack, in the last hours, this is from our friends over at TMZ. Thanks, Harvey Levin. Dave Mack, the manager, Josh Marshall, and founder of Mogul Vision, has taken to TikTok to point out he knows nothing about any of this. He's claiming, Dave Mack, that he did not live there, as many people state, that it wasn't his place. He doesn't know about the cameras there. He doesn't know what was going on there. That he actually lives in Texas with his wife and I believe it is three children.
He did. Josh Marshall founded Mogul Vision, and he is denying any and all involvement. And he pointed out a couple of very important points, Nancy. He does have three children, and he pointed out he has a daughter that's 14 years old, the same age as the victim in the car. He lives with his wife and children in Texas, and he also points out he does 95% of his work from Texas. He does it remotely, as many people do these days. He did lease that house. It was leased in his name, but that's not an uncommon thing for managers to do for the people they represent. So Josh Marshall saying, nah, I'm not involved at all and know nothing about it.
Many online sleuths are stating, here's a quote, I swear to God I've been saying this to my boyfriend. I think Josh did it. Girltown NJ responds, I think he's heavily involved. Okay. And he, Josh Marshall, the manager, goes to social media and says, I will speak on this matter just this one time. This has been a tough time for my family. I'm a father of three. I receive no emails, and I'm no one's roommate. In other words, emails that his client was with a young girl. I live full-time at home with my wife and kids. My daughter's 14, and this news is affecting so many lives. I have zero knowledge of anything, and I don't even live in California. So the online sleuths are so desperate for a conspiracy theory to point the finger at somebody else. They're now pointing the finger at his manager, who was not even on the scene. Uh-oh, Josh Colesrud, I guess you can't blame him.
Well, you know, I don't think that there is any evidence showing that the manager is involved. And also, you know, there was kind of a controversy that David moved out of his house abruptly. But what people don't understand was that the manager was paying for this. And as soon as David stopped making money for the company, you know, they kicked him out, essentially. They're no longer making money. So I think the manager is being responsible. He wants to distance himself.
The manager did not kick Burke out of that mansion. I don't know what you're saying.
Well, he was the one that was paying for it, and he's the one that broke the lease. The manager did. It wasn't David.
The manager may have been writing checks for it or sending transmissions, but that money came from his client, Burke. Marshall, the manager, wasn't living there, and he had obtained that mansion for Burke to live in. Not him. He wasn't living there. He has never lived there. And the point is, that is a dead end. Marshall, the manager, had nothing to do with this. But speaking of those in the know, we were talking about send lawyers, guns, and money. Burke's mom spotted out shopping for an AR-15 semi-automatic. Wow.
The singer's mother, silent regarding her son, but Colleen Burke caught on camera leaving a Texas gun store with what appears to be a large security man standing nearby. In her hands, an instruction manual for an AR-15 semi-automatic. Not clear if she purchased anything, but it is the first time she's been seen in public since the decomposing remains of a child found in her son's Tesla.
I wonder if his family members or others are getting threats and feel they've got to arm themselves.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
That said, now I want to talk about the money. Listen.
Many people wondered how a 20-year-old could be driving a Tesla and renting a home for $20,000 a month. At 17, Burke signed a record deal with advance fees paying him $3 million guaranteed, with a contract that was valued at $6 million if certain goals were met. As part of the deal, Burke already released two EPs, one full album, and was on a world tour promoting that album when Celeste was found decomposing in his Tesla.
That's a lot of money. Speaking of all the money and the manager, straight back out to Steve Fisher joining us. Steve Fisher, the manager, Marshall, took to social media to deny any involvement. He actually sent that response to you, and he referred to an email. What email? He's saying, I didn't know about any email. What email is he talking about?
So I got contacted by somebody very close to the family that showed me an email that was sent to Josh and somebody else in his camp. When she first went missing in 2024, they had learned that she was likely with him. And they sent a letter to him, and I'll just say his wife also, saying, you know, here's her missing poster. She's 13 years old. She's with this guy. And then the next day, she showed up back home. And so I think for Josh to say that he knows nothing about this is disingenuous. And I will say LAPD called last week.
Do you know he got the email? Do you know the email address? So we don't know that he got the email. You said it was sent to his wife. Who's telling you all this?
The person who sent the email, and I will say LAPD called last week when I had put that out, and they now have a copy of the email, and they did verify that the email address is correct. Whether he opened it or not, we don't know, but she did show up the next day. But LAPD has the letter. They requested it, and they have it.
Friends of Burke thought Celeste was 19 and his girlfriend. Describing Burke as a very shy, quiet person, friends said they saw Burke and Celeste together a lot as a romantically involved couple. Thinking Celeste was a student at USC, friends of Burke saw Celeste at age-restricted venues and clubs.
So apparently she was being passed off as much older than she actually was. And I've noticed in all the photos that are posted of her, she's always covering her face. Very curious. Check it out. Photo after photo after photo. She always has her face covered. Very quickly to Karen Stark joining us. Forensic psychologist Karen, I want to touch on the fact that Burke's alter ego, Pain, has emerged. Can I see what he posted regarding his alter ego? Karen Stark, it says, we've officially named the blindfold character. His name is Itami. That means pain in Japanese. And in all of the videos after that, he personifies Itami. His alter ID, his alter ego is, quote, pain. That's troublesome, Karen Stark.
Well, it's something that doesn't surprise me, Nancy, because it's a great way for him to cover up or not be associated with that part of him that is perhaps homicidal or talking about death and killing. So he doesn't do it through David, through himself. He does it through his alter ego, which keeps him innocent, to make it be okay to have that dark side of their personality.
You know, I just find that very disturbing. You know, I've got a lot of nicknames for my children. My son is Awesome. He is Big Boy. He is My Son. My daughter is Little Girl. My Angel, Mini-Me. Pain is not really one of them, but I'm sure Josh Colesbury would object to that coming into evidence. That said, an alter ego name does not a murder case make. So let's talk about hard evidence. Back to Scott Eicher joining us, digital forensics expert, founding member of the FBI Cellular Analysis Survey Team. He is at PCAExperts.com, Precision Cellular Analysis. Scott, I want to talk about the Tesla. What evidence, if any, can I get from all of those cameras on the Tesla?
Well, the Tesla has a trove of information, not only the cameras that are recording almost all the time in sentry mode. That's basically when you park the car, someone comes up to the car, it actually activates the camera and sends that stuff to a USB drive in the car. That USB drive can be removed. A new one can be replaced when it's full. You could delete that information from the USB drive either via the app or while you're in the car. But there's a ton of stuff that that Tesla records, not only the cameras, but the telematics of the car, when it was driven, how far it was driven, stuff like that. There's even a camera that's facing the driver. Now, that's used for the full self-driving mode to make sure you're still awake, you're paying attention to the road. And I believe that's still stored in the car itself. I don't believe there's anything stored in the cloud, but it's all stored in the car. So if that USB drive and they do a extraction of the data from the Tesla itself, that's going to be a trove of information. Not only that, there's a phone in the car, embedded in the car. So you can find the records for that phone and see what towers it was using. There's just so much information they're going to get from this Tesla.
Scott Eicher, are you telling me that all of that data is not stored in the cloud, that if someone throws away or destroys the USB, it's over? I can't recover that?
That's what I understand. In my Tesla, there's a USB, and when I go in, even on my app, and look at the recordings from the cameras, it says it's connecting to the car to get that data, not to a cloud.
From what I understand, the Tesla has a front-facing camera, two cameras on the windshield, two cameras on the side fenders, a rear-facing camera, and gets a 360-degree view of the Tesla's environment. While driving, the dash cam uses exterior cameras recording footage in a loop, continuously capturing the car's surroundings. My question is, Scott Eicher, I assume that includes the trunk, the front-facing trunk. There would be a camera on the trunk that would presumably have caught whoever put her body in it.
Yeah, that is correct. That would be the dash camera, the one that's facing outward from the car, not inside the car. And it faces right down the hood of the car. So there should be footage of whoever's accessing the frunk or the front trunk of that car and all around the car as they walk up to it.
Another question. You mentioned sentry mode. Sentry, S-E-N-T-R-Y. For instance, like a guardian, a sentry placed, say, let's pretend around a military fort, a guard, right? Would you have to disable the sentry mode, like you unlock a car remote, in order to get in the car, or would it set off an alarm? I'm just trying to figure out if that car was moved to place to place to place along that high-end neighborhood street, someone would have to know how to disable the sentry mode to crank up the car and move it.
No, the sentry mode itself turns off as you come up to the car with the key. So it turns that part off, then you're allowed to enter the car and then drive it. So it's only recording as it's parked.
Can anybody remove the USB? Like, where's the USB kept in the vehicle?
It's actually in the glove box, surprisingly. You open the glove box and it's just sitting right there. You can pull it out and put another one in if you needed to.
This case is ongoing. It is under investigation as we speak. No arrest has been named. No person of interest has been named. We want justice for this little girl, Celeste. If you know or think you know anything, even if you think it is insignificant, please dial 213-486-6890. Repeat. 213-486-6890. We will get answers as to what happened to Celeste Rivas. And now we remember an American hero, Deputy Sheriff Michael Hartwick of Pinellas County, Florida, killed in the line of duty. Served 19 years with the sheriff's office and leaves behind two grieving sons, William and Brandon. American hero, Deputy Sheriff Michael Hartwick. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend. This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.